Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
What's up, Restoration Church? Pastor Bobby here, and I just want to explain what's going to happen. Number one, why are you watching a video instead of gathering in person? Just in case you didn't get the communication about this Sunday, our pastors and I decided to take a break from in-person gathering this week since it seems about everybody we know either just got sick or is currently sick. We will resume gathering next Sunday, God willing, which also means our annual family meeting that was scheduled for this Sunday will be rescheduled for next Sunday after service. We will be live streaming that for our members that are sick or quarantined just in case they can't make it. So don't worry if you can't be there, we will live stream it in. Second thing is this service will look quite different even from the other videos that we've done in the past. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to preach a shortened sermon, God willing. We're going to hear a few testimonies from people in our church about this question: how do they find rest for their souls? And then the last one is I want you to use the remainder of the time that you would normally use at church, and hopefully even more than that, to seek Jesus and find rest for your souls. Now, for all that to happen, we need prayer. And so if you would, please join me for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would now come over this place and those that are watching, that there would be a movement of power in your spirit over people's lives, that your word, which we know is powerful, would move to me and through me to your people, and that we would all be transformed, changed, set free. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. How do you find rest for your soul? That's my question we'll be discussing today in part two of our sermon series, Oh My Soul, where we are examining the effects of current events on the soul. And obviously, current events are still affecting us from what we would call normal, as I preach this sermon by myself in an empty church, still a little sick from getting COVID a second time earlier this week. And even recording this sermon has been a journey. My plan was to record it on a beach at a place I call the secret spot. I'll tell you about that some other sermon. On my prayer walk the night before, I saw this, which usually means rain is coming. So when you see that, you know rain is coming. So I looked at the weather, and there was no rain in sight, according to my weather app. But around the time I wanted to record, guess what? Guess what I heard on my roof? That's right. It started to rain. So I looked it up, and it was going to end soon, so no big deal, right? I mean, I'm still planning I can go to the beach and record it once the rain stops. But then I get the report of the volcano that went off around Samoa, and the entire coast of California was on a tsunami warning. So here I am, preaching at the church. How many of you guys know that a man's heart leads his way, but the Lord directs his steps? So this begs the question, as we asked last week, how does all this affect your soul? Specifically considering the last 2 years. It just seems unending. Like even my wife, when she heard about the volcano, said, "That's it, the world is coming to an end." Anybody else feel that way? Hopefully last week you just stopped for a few minutes to be in touch with how you really are doing. Now, in review of last week, this is what I asked of you. Number one, be honest. What is the condition of your soul? Look to the example of the author of Psalm 42. Now, here's a man who knows the condition of his soul. Listen to these words. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" Now he says that, asks that question, and then he tells his soul, soul, hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Instead of allowing his soul to enter into and then stay in despair, he sees where it's at and he knows where he is going. Just like the map example that I used last week, that there's two things you need on a map. You need to know where you're at and where you're going. Oftentimes we know where we want to go or where we think we're going to go, but so little do we spend time going, where are we at? To be able to know thyself. I was trying to live this out last week because, just so you know, I do try to follow the applications that I give you guys. It's not just for y'all and then I get to go do my own thing. And so I found myself at a beautiful area. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful. It was in between Avila Beach and Pismo, if you know the area. Just ocean views everywhere. And you would think I could just be walking 2 feet off the ground. But I found myself, as I was walking up this hill, overlooking this just absolute beauty, I found myself going, how's my soul? And I felt anxious. Like, I felt this anxiousness arising. And so I just, soul, why are you anxious? Like, look around. And then I was like, God, what are you doing in showing me on why I'm anxious? And then I was able to go through and repent of some worry. This is the kind of work that I'm asking and hoping that you're doing. So one, be honest. Number two, return to childlike faith. Man, my grandsons just visited recently, and my oldest grandson, he's still a toddler. When he saw me in the airport, it was like a scene out of a movie where someone gets single focused and everything else fades around. And then he just came running right at me. He's like, Grandpa, Grandpa. He came into my arms and he didn't let go of me for like a week. Ah, if we could just have that kind of attitude or that kind of understanding about God and our relationship with him. To run into the Father's arms where everything else fades because we're so excited to see God, to be with God. I want that. Hopefully you do too. To return to childlike faith. And the last one was to come to Jesus. Jesus says it in his own words. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you didn't do that last week, your assignment this week is to do that from last week. So number one, be honest. Ask yourself, what's the condition of your soul? What's the condition of my soul? Number two, return to childlike faith. Find your excitement to be with God again. Just like it was back in the day, you know, like revive that understanding of, man, be excited about who God is and let everything else fade in the peripheral. And then number three, come to Jesus and cast your burdens on him. He can take it. He's got wide enough shoulders. It says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. My question this morning is, how do you find rest for your soul? If you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 4. That's on page 1002 in our Pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to be reading 1 through 13. Now, if you are a guest this morning, first, welcome. We're stoked you decided to join us in an online service. That's amazing. And hopefully you can join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. in our in-person gatherings. Now, if that's you and you don't have a Bible, we would love to send you a Bible. All you have to do is email us right here, info@r-church.org. Send us your address and we'll send you a Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And what we're going to do is just, I'm just going to read and exposit and read and exposit. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So the word therefore, when we see the word therefore, we ask, what's the therefore? You still with me? Okay, you guys, most of you guys know this. What he's referring to is what he talked about in chapter 3. He's talking about the Exodus. When the children of Israel were under the thumb of the Egyptians in slavery and misery, and then he raises up Moses, goes, calls his people to be set free, plague, 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 and then they finally are set free. They go through the Red Sea. Now they're completely set free. No more fear of the Egyptians. And then the promises is that God had a place of honey and like of just this great, awesome place called the Promised Land. It was going to be amazing, and it's really good news. But they didn't respond in faith. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't go there, as it says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. And what he's talking about is don't be like that. Don't be that guy. Don't fail in having faith in God and his word. Let's look to verse 2. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. In other words, what he's doing here is he's comparing the gospel, the good news that we have heard, to the message of, hey, you're going to be set free and enter into a promised land. He's comparing those two and he's saying, hey, these are similar. And the problem is it wasn't for them because they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. And what he's saying here is don't fail in having faith in God. Don't be that guy. And he comes to then compare the gospel to the promised rest to his children. You see, one of the great things about the promise that God was telling his children, like, hey, I'm going to set you free and I'm going to let you enter into a rest. But they never entered into that rest. And then it goes on to say, if you look down, so verse 3 towards the end, it says, as I swore in my wrath, quoting God, they shall not enter my rest. Talking about the children of Israel back in the time of Moses. And then it says in verse 5, the same thing. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Said twice, I take him for his word. Like, this is not going to happen. But then he goes into an argument and kind of states his case about comparing them to us and now what that means for us. Brilliant argument. Look at verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. That disobedience is not having faith. Yes, a lack of faith is disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So what he's saying is that David was way far after Moses and the children of Israel. So he's saying because David quoted that in a psalm, and then it says in verse 8, for if Joshua who came after Moses had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Verse 9, so then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So, that's his argument. That a rest that was promised by God to his people still remains. So here's the questions. Who enters it? Who enters into this rest? Who are the people of God spoken here? Now look at verse 3. Highlight it, underline it, memorize it. It is absolutely important. Chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest. For we who have believed enter that rest. So who's the we? Well, the book of Hebrews is speaking to New Testament Christians. People that after Christ has come and lived and died and rose again and now have put their faith in Christ, that's who he's referring to, the we. So, New Testament Christians. Okay, who believe in what? Because it says, we who have believed. Well, the gospel. Because he just compared in verse 2 the rest with the gospel. And so he's saying, who's the we? New Testament Christians. Who believe in what? The gospel. They're the ones. So people who believe in the gospel enter that rest. What rest? God's rest. What's interesting, there's no command to follow yet. It's just true about you. Do you believe the gospel? That's the question. Just ask yourself, do you believe the gospel? Hopefully you answered out loud yes. If the answer is yes, then this is truth found in God's, or this truth found in God's word is yours. You have entered into God's rest. It's an absolute truth. For those who believed, enter into that rest. So what did God rest from? I think that's an important question to answer. What did God rest from? Well, look at verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now look, go down to verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So God rested from his work, and then whoever entered God's rest also rests from his works as God did from his. And so what we're seeing here is a comparison to the gospel and Genesis. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning. This is the sixth day. And then it says, starts back up in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now the writer of Hebrews compares this rest to the gospel. He's saying, like God rested, like he did all this amazing creation, like with a word, God's word, he created the heavens and the earth and light and all the creatures. And then the crowning achievement of his creation, us, man and woman, created in his image and in his likeness. And he compares this to the gospel. Because we look back on the work of Christ and say, God is very good. And we hear the words of Christ on the cross, much like God said in Genesis, God finished. We hear the words of Christ on the cross, it is finished. And we trust in the finished work of Christ for our salvation. And like God rested on the seventh day, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, gives us rest every day from now to eternity. And we gather every week to remember and encourage one another to have faith in the completed work of Christ. That is good news. That is good news. We enter into this. We enter into the rest. Man, I would love for you to just focus on that today. There may be other things. But verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. We no longer have to strive to please God. We no longer have to strive to gain acceptance from God. We no longer have to strive to worry about whether or not God loves us. It's completed. We no longer have to work for that. But there is striving in. You see, all that is true. When we talk about imperatives and indicatives and the idea that there's an indicative of Scripture, which means it's a truth of Scripture, and oftentimes the imperatives, which means the command of Scripture, is anchored into the truth. It's much in the same way in the book of Hebrews. Everything that I just said about the gospel and creation, the only question is, do you believe? If the answer is yes, then you have entered God's rest. Now the command that's coming up, this command that I'm about to read, is where the battle lies. This is where it gets interesting. Verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. It sounds like an oxymoron, right? Like you have rest. You don't need to strive anymore, but yet you need to strive. Wait, what? What he's saying is that the work of faith, to be able to continue to believe, so not just the entrance into, not just the ability to be able to say, okay, I know I have salvation, but now I have to like some sort of gain or sustain or play this weird race. No, it's completed. And the work that us as Christians, the striving, is to simply keep the faith and believe God at his word. Saints, do you believe God at his word? Do you? This is where the rubber meets the road, separates the men from the boys. It's faith in what God has said is true about you. About you. Above all the other things. Above all the peripheral. All the things that are outside of this focused relationship we have with God. That our eyes being fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. That all this other stuff begins to just melt away. Why? Because we believe. Because we have faith that he provides this rest. And then we are able to then begin to not only receive the rest, but experience the rest of God. God has said, what God has said is true about you. This is how we not only enter God's rest, but experience God's rest. This is how we find rest for our souls. Do you believe? Now, I would recommend it, because this is the context that the famous verse that I'm about to read, that many of you know, is said in. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. How can you know how your soul is doing? You allow the word of God to x-ray your soul. Don't hide. Don't pretend. Be honest. He's a good surgeon. Because at the end of the day, what we just read, like you can't hide from God anyway. Like it's a fool's game to think that we can somehow be like Adam and Eve and hide in the garden as though God didn't know where they were at anyway. It's just silly. There's no reason to play with the facade and the false front and the acting and the hypocrisy if we could just be honest. Why? Because God already knows. No creature is hidden from his sight. Not even you. We're all naked and exposed in the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. But don't let that scare you. Because he's on your side. And he's good. How can you know how your soul is doing? Allow the word of God to x-ray your soul. X-ray your soul. How can you find rest for your soul? By believing God at his word. When you read something in context, obviously there's things to understand about the Bible. And if you have any questions, I'm here. But when you read something, like, for we who have believed entered that rest, believe it and receive it. Now, what does that mean? That means when I am feeling filled with anxiety,
When all my circumstances around me and all the things that are happening, whether it be a tsunami warning or rain or something silly like rain, which I love rain, but being able to not do what I thought I was going to do, or being exposed to COVID and now that we're on the third variant and we have like all this stuff that's going on. Basically, a lot of the stuff that's mentioned already in Revelation, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and volcanoes going off in the ocean and tsunami threats. All these things, when all these things happen, you are able to say, I have the rest of God. Have the peace of God. He's given me a joy that no one can take away. This is what that means by believing God at His word. This is what it means to not only believe initially, but as it says, the righteous or the just shall live or walk by faith. It's daily believing God's word. It's, yeah, I believe God now, and I believe God now, and I believe this about God, and I believe this about me for what God has done for me. Like this, and we just continue to walk in that. That's how we find rest for our souls. Now, there are conduits by which we do this. As I mentioned, gathering with the saints on Sunday to be reminded, encouraged, and exhorted by His word. That's why it says later on in Hebrews, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, because you are neglecting that reminder, that encouragement, that exhortation, or the opportunity to encourage someone else. You're needed. You are the body of Christ. And also when it comes to like taking communion, it's a physical reminder of the completed work of Christ on the cross. Just like God created or finished His work in creation, Jesus finished a new creation because we are a new creation in Christ. It's a completed work. It's done. And when we take that bread, we break it, we're reminded that Christ's body is enough and sufficient for us to have rest of soul. And when we take that juice, we're reminded of this new covenant, this new creation, that we can now have rest in the completed work of Christ on the cross. And by the way, if you're going to take communion, you're more than welcome to take communion. You have to get your own stuff. But if you want to do like some soul searching, whether it be on the beach, make sure there's no tsunami warnings, or whatever the case may be, just take that bread and go, Christ, you are my rest. And eat. Jesus, let this be a reminder that you are my rest and drink. And so we have things like weekly church gatherings, and unless there's an epidemic, and we try. And we have things like communion, where we're reminded of these things. We have things like devotional time, when we open up His word and we pray. We take hikes, walks on the beach, observing His creation, like I did earlier this week, to be reminded of these truths and give myself some space to get rid of the peripheral and focus in on Christ. They're all around us and available to you. Today, what I want you to do is take some time to examine the condition of your soul and then find rest, your rest in Christ. Now, before you go this morning, I've asked some people in our church to give some testimony about how they find rest for their souls. What I want you to do now is listen in and be encouraged. Before you do that, let me pray for you. Father, we need you. Even as I preach this sermon, Lord God, I feel like, man, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the people listening to this would actually create some space in their lives after they hear this and do two things. Examine where they're at so that they can find rest for their souls in you. Lord, we need your grace for any of this to happen. And we're praying that you would provide it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Listen in to some of these encouragements, and afterwards I got a benediction for you.
Hey, I'm Marianne, and I find rest by going to the swing set and swinging. I also like to listen to Christian heavy music, and right now I'm jamming Relief by Wolves at the Gate because the lyrics always remind me to find my rest in God.
This is kind of an open space right near my house that I love to go with our dogs, and it's just try to get away almost every day and just talk to God and see His nature and just get some quiet time to hear what He has to say to me and ask Him to speak. So anyhow, this is one of the places I come, and this is kind of how I do it.
I find rest by just being outside. I like to go on walks. It really clears my head, really removes the noise, and it really gives me an opportunity to pray. The Bible says to pray continually, and it really gives me the opportunity to just take a step back. And usually that's all I need, is just that step back and that refocus on Jesus.
Hi, this is Rick and Juanita Spitzer, and we like to relax and rest our souls right here on our own backyard.
We do like to spend time, particularly in the morning when it's early, it's very quiet. We get a nice cup of coffee and talk about our faith, talk about our relationship, get to have a relationship with Him. And this is God's house, so we get to be with Him every day. And that's how we rest our souls, just here, not going very far from our own home.
Yep. Peace be with
you.
Peace
be with you.
Well, I got many things that I like to do. I like to go out in nature and take pictures, sunrise, sunset, more of the sunset, the sunrise, getting up too early for sunrise. But can't always do that every morning, can't do that every day. And so instead, I have an alternate thing that I do. Sit back in my chair, relax, start the massage, go to zero gravity, close my eyes, and rest my soul.
I've been coming to this spot for over 40 years. This is by far the best spot for me to really connect with God. And, you know, just I've had some of the most amazing moments here, including the time that I lost my mom. So this is a very special, special place. And every time I come here, God and I have the most amazing time. And so I'm just incredibly grateful that, you know, He's given me this opportunity to be here and also be amongst you guys, you know, because you guys are just an incredible, incredible family. And here I am at the very top. You can see Henry's Beach down below. Again, another very special spot where my mom and I spent many times on the beach during the summer.
Hopefully you were encouraged by those saints sharing their messages on how they find rest for their souls. So maybe take a page out of their book or find your own. Find that spot. Find that devotional time. Find that whatever it is for you. And find your rest in Christ. If you would, if you can, I know you're probably on the couch in your jammies. But if you want to stand and raise your hands, at least raise your hands, to receive this blessing coming right out of the end of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. May this be true of you, that you would with confidence draw near the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God grant you grace and mercy to find rest for your souls. Peace be with you, saints. Have fun.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.